From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Andy discusses drain tile water quality with the team at Iowa Soybean Association. Dustin gets the latest export sales results from Greg McBride of Allendale, and Riley wraps up his conversation with Dr. Dara Harris of Landis. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, the rain is falling here around parts of Iowa. Welcome to Iowa Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Dustin Huffman. We haven't gotten much here, Andy, as we start segment one brought to you by Experior from Elanco. And Andy, what are you seeing out in your neck of the woods today?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Started about 7:45 or so this morning. And as predicted, maybe a little bit later than some of the earlier projections that had it in the middle of the night. But so far enough to knock us out of the field, maybe activate some residual in the herbicides, but that is simply about it. Although there is more coming, I'm pretty confident in saying that. Let's get going here, diving into the commodity markets, grains and oil seeds, as Mark Magnuson. We welcome him in to visit with Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net.
Joined today by Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net for our opening market discussion. Jim, what's happening with the grains here on Friday?
We have a little bit mixed bag here on a Friday, a little bit up and down. We've had a very volatile week, and maybe we're going to see a little bit of profit taken. Wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of weakness maybe here. And maybe the corn and bean market going into the weekend, but it's been a very bullish week on the wheat front. Wheat's been driving. The storyline continues. There's a lot of dry issues in parts of the plains. Now, certain areas, Mark, are going to get the rain, but certain areas are going to miss it. We still got dryness issues in the Ukraine as well as dryness issues in Russia. That's not a lot of rain in the forecast there. That should be somewhat supportive to the wheat market. If that's the case, that should be a little bit of support to the corn. The big storyline going into the weekend, though, is the heavy rains that are moving through portions of Iowa and Iowa and Nebraska right now. That pushes through over the weekend into Illinois and kind of dies out as it gets closer to Indiana. The models, 1 to 3 to 4 inches of rain, that is definitely going to put the brakes on planting. And then, you know, how quick we get back into the field will depend, you know, it's going to be determined, A, how much rain we get, and B, when does that next follow-up rain comes. I know, talked to a few producers out there in Iowa, they're a little bit nervous about that.
And we have gotten rain already here last night. It's raining here this morning, at least in Des Moines. And I was just looking at the drought monitor update yesterday. Northeast Iowa is still the driest place in the entire Corn Belt in terms of that D3 designation for drought. Are there any other areas of the Corn Belt right now that are really hurting?
Well, I think if you look at it, like parts of Missouri were very dry. But, you know, we had a client there in Missouri, so they've had 4 inches of rain. So they've had some of the best rain they've had in a very long time. So we are healing it up, Mark. I would say that, you know, if you look at that drought monitor, that is a long-term indicator. It's over multiple months. But the reality is we're definitely replenishing the soil. It's, you know, we're not going to be at full topped off, no doubt, in Iowa. But I would argue, you know, the rain we're seeing right now, the more rain coming, it is going to do wonders to set us up to at least the early part of the growing season. So right now, I think in general, you got to say, you know, near term, maybe a little bit bullish and delayed planting. Long term, you know, it may be what we need to kind of get us over those humps that we tend to see, you know, dryness issues pop up throughout the summer.
And then back to the topic we started with, which was the wheat and all the questions about the weather and the dryness there for growing wheat. Also, we've mentioned here earlier this week about the uncertainty in Ukraine and Russia. Has there been any difference how we started the week? Have things calmed down at all, or are they still ramping up, it looks like, with Russia attacking that infrastructure?
I anticipate it's only going to get more intense because essentially the Ukrainians, for all knowledge that I've had, they were running out of ammunition. With this new spending bill the government just passed here in the United States, we're going to rearm them. They're going to start going, punching back at the Russians. So it's going to intensify. Then the real question is, does Russia really start going after infrastructure harder and going after some of the ports? There, over the last weekend, Russia hit one of the grain exporting ports. So if they would start taking out some of that infrastructure, Mark, that really could be kind of a game changer, because it's been actually quite amazing how much grain has been able to come out of the Ukraine despite what's going on the war footing they've been on.
We'll get more from Jim McCormick at AgMarket.net coming up a little later on in the program talking livestock. But right now, Andy Peterson's set to go with the first round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
A dramatic pause in plant 2024 as water falls from the sky. But something to think about, what happens to that water once it hits the ground? Certainly, it eventually ends up either in an aquifer or a stream or a river. But what does it pick up along the way? Iowa Soybean Association has a cool tile monitoring project to help answer those questions.
It's not a hard one-to-one comparison of a specific practice, but we like to try and draw out what we can as far as do these practices perform over time. How do things like the weather, an individual year, the crop rotation impact them? And then, you know, again, just more information so the producer can go back when they're making their decision making for the next year and think about what they saw, maybe what it looked like the other people were doing in their area, and maybe think about making changes or targeting a practice to the podcast.
Conversation, part of the latest Pods of Potential podcast, just released on our website at iowaagnet.com or your favorite podcasting service.
Number two.
Looking for a plateau in gasoline and diesel prices after weeks of upward movement. Now refineries complete the transition from winter to summer gas blends, and the changing fuel blends come with the changing seasons. Depending on the calendar, gas prices can be more expensive based on the blend drivers choose to see. But our good buddy Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com says the largest pain point is refinery maintenance, and that will, quote, take a few more weeks to complete.
Number one.
Anxiously awaiting the release of the GREET model, which will determine eligibility for tax credits for ethanol used in sustainable aviation fuels, part of the reason that certain carbon intensity program payments have been delayed on the part of several companies. Soon, it should be coming, according to Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper.
The last thing we've heard from USDA on that is now they're saying, hopefully, we see this modified GREET model by the end of the month. So we went from March 1st to, well, maybe the beginning of April, and now we're hearing it's more likely the end of April.
He says the timing is key for investment if the current administration wants to get its production goal of 30 billion gallons by 2050. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Every day you navigate a complex business and changing demands. Stay a step ahead with Experior. The first FDA-approved product of its kind, Experior creates the freedom and flexibility to support environmental stewardship without hindering animal performance measures like average daily gain, feed efficiency, and carcass characteristics. Own your future now. Talk to your Lanco representative or visit experiorbeef.com to learn more. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking about monitoring water quality coming out of tile with the folks at Iowa Soybean Association. Andy Peterson's going to have that for us next on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. This is Iowa Ag Matters. Well, obviously, water quality is a big issue here in Iowa. Another question is, though, is what happens with that water quality and how do we monitor it coming out of the tile? That's where the rubber hits the road and seeing how our processes are paying off. Andy Peterson sitting down with Wayne Celia and Tony Seaman with the Iowa Soybean Association from the latest Pods of Potential.
From a historical perspective, we were pretty well the way everybody in this area farmed. We worked the crop ground, and then I'm talking with a field cultivator. We don't do much corn on corn, but when we did, it's heavy chisel plow, work it down with a disc, hit it again with a field cultivator and do that. But we've kind of sort of moved away from that. We use a Great Plains Turbo Max. It's a vertical tillage machine. We work the corn stalks down, and probably if you talk to my sons, they'd say it's a waste of a trip, but for me, I run the bean combine in the fall, and it's a beautiful carpet of residue there. It just looks prettier when we get done combining, and we'd run that about 2 inches deep, and it's a high-speed operation, 8-9 miles an hour, and so we cover a lot of ground in a short period of time. On the corn side of things, we'd be the guys that would either put the field cultivator in to level the fields ahead of when we plant corn, or we put the vertical tillage machine in there. Depends on the year and the farm and et cetera and et cetera. So that's kind of the way we do it. We used to be 20-inch rows, both corn and beans, up until last year, the boys wanted to go back to 30-inch rows, which give them, they thought, a little more flexibility to do side dressing or things of that nature. So this year we're 20-inch beans. I'm going to call it close enough to no-till. You can maybe call it that, but it's actually hit with a vertical till and then planted. And on the corn side, we're 30-inch rows, and we're intrigued by the guys who are doing strip till, the guys that are doing it right. Looks like it's got some promise from the standpoint of reduced labor, reduced equipment, but we're watching it because that's kind of an expensive deal, and we're just not quite ready to dive in there with both feet. So mm-hmm. That's kind of the way we do it.
Yeah, transition period can certainly take some time. Tony Seaman is Water Lab Service Manager with the Iowa Soybean Association, and the tile monitoring is certainly part of what you do. Nutrient management, though, I would imagine, maybe describes it a little bit better. So break that down, I guess, for us. If we participate and everything's collected, then how does that kind of show up, or what does that look like?
Well, so we give individual updates that are just kind of the numbers during the season, and kind of give you an idea of the seasonal pattern and what we're seeing out there. We give you a comparison of all the samples we've taken to date and where yours fall in that range. And then at the end of the year, we kind of aggregate all the data from all around the state, and then kind of mine it and slice it and dice it a bunch of different ways so people can see, participants can see where they, you know, where they fall within the state, within their county, within their landform areas, within their practices. And so, you know, it's not a hard one-to-one comparison of a specific practice, but we like to try and draw out what we can as far as, do these practices perform over time? How do things like the weather, an individual year, or the crop rotation impact them? And then, you know, again, just more information so the producer can go back when they're making their decision making for the next year and think about what they saw, maybe what it looked like the other people were doing in their area, and maybe think about making changes.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, we continue to see some strength in the marketplace. Part of the reason is U.S. exports, particularly on the corn side of the equation. Greg McBride from Allendale provides the update for us on a weekly basis. And he's coming up next on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
Time to run down some elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Dustin Huffman. Seeing some changes still going to the lower side. Let's take a look at where some of those elevators are today. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're 8 cents under on corn today, 432. Soybeans even at 1157. Cargill Eddyville, a dime over on corn, cash bid 450. New Co-op Algona, 3 cents under on corn, 437. Soybeans 60 cents under, cash bid 1097. Ag State Sheldon, 25 cents over on corn, 465. Soybeans 65 cents under at 1092. Ag State Elta, they are 2 cents under on corn, cash bid 438. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1102. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 24 cents over on corn, they're at 464. Soybeans a dime over, cash bid 1167. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 15 cents over on corn, 455. Soybeans 45 cents under at 1112. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 8 cents over on corn, cash bid 448. ADM Des Moines, 5 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1152. New Co-op Red Oak and Nickel under on corn, 435. Soybeans 60 cents under at 1097. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, a dime under on corn, cash bid 430. Soybeans 40 cents under at 1117. New Co-op Sheraton, 20 cents under on corn, 420. Soybeans 65 cents under, cash bid 1092. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 6 cents under on corn, 434. Soybeans 42 cents under at 1115. New Co-op Glidden, 3 cents under on corn, cash bid 437. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1102. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 4 cents over on corn, 444. Soybeans 39 cents under, cash bid 1118. And at Cargill and Muscatine today, they're 2 cents under on corn at $4.38, and soybeans 8 cents under at $11.49. Just a reminder, the cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's with a check of your basis prices here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've still got more market information to come here, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers. We'll have that for you coming up in just a little bit. Don't forget about free market analysis sent right to your mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean, and online at iowaagnet.com. More Iowa Ag Matters still to come.
Great to be back here today on Iowa Ag Matters, Andy and Dustin, as we got our technical difficulties taken care of yesterday, both signal-wise and planner-wise. We'll talk about that here coming up. Right now, export sales report. Greg McBride with Allendale sitting down with Dustin.
We're on the phone right now with Greg McBride of Allendale getting our weekly update on the export sales report. And what kind of numbers did we see in this week's report, Greg?
Well, we had a rebound for corn sales this week, 1.562 million tons. That is a very good number for us. We'd seen 2 to 3 weeks of just terrible sales for corn. So overall, most of that coming on the old crop, 1.3 million tons there. On the bean side of things, we are still struggling. We are it came in at 331,000 tons. Overall, the old crop number came in 210, so it was split pretty evenly under the estimate that we were looking for. So overall, this is going to be looked at more as a neutral report. You did have the beans come in at the very low end of their overall sales number. 300,000 was the low end number. 331,000 was the total number there. Wheat, meal, and oil. Bean oil all came in within the range of estimates as well.
All right. And did we get any flash sales that we need to know about?
No flash sales to discuss this week. The biggest note that we'll have here was that with that those big sales of corn, it was still mostly Mexico. Mexico accounted for about a quarter of that those overall sales for the old crop there. That's a good sign. We still, obviously, they are our number one. The problem that we do have here is that we just are not seeing China come in and buy a whole heck of a lot here. Now, we talk about China in regards to corn. They didn't used to be a big group to buy from us. Then we had the trade deal through the Trump administration, got them to buy from us. Now they're just buying Ukrainian and Brazilian corn. When it comes to the soybean side of things, they did buy 167,000 tons this week. But this is the problem that Riley and I have been talking about for a while, is that a lot of those sales were actually switched from previous sales to unknown destinations. So it's not new bushels or new tons that we're selling. It's all moved from previous sales that were reported weeks or months ago.
So then how does this all line up with what USDA has on their estimates?
Well, on the corn side of things, we are still slightly behind. Probably no need for the USDA to make any changes to the export demand numbers on this upcoming May WASDE report. But we're still so far behind on the beans that you could see them adjust maybe 50 to 100 million bushels on the soybean side of things for the old crop balance sheet. And when you start to look at what that means for overall, we are crushing still at a phenomenal rate. So there is an offset there, but at this point, the export deficit is not enough is not covering the gains that we see in that crush side of things. So still hobbling around on the soybean side of things. We're just okay on the corn side of things. We overall just have too much grown in the world and too many high numbers on the ending stock side of things for corn and beans.
All right, Greg. Well, we thank you so much for the update. If folks want to get in touch at Allendale, how do they do that?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
That, again, was Greg McBride of Allendale here on Iowa Ag Matters. We're going to go ahead and kick it over to Andy Peterson. He's standing by with round two of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Looking for a plateau in gasoline and diesel prices after weeks of upward movement. Now refineries complete the transition from winter to summer gas blends, and the changing fuel blends come with the changing seasons. Depending on the calendar, gas prices can be more expensive based on the blend drivers choose to see. But our good buddy Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com says the largest pain point is refinery maintenance, and that will, quote, take a few more weeks to complete.
Number two.
A focus on the future of agricultural leaders is Iowa Farm Bureau awarding nearly $270,000 in scholarships to Iowa students. 27 scholarships were awarded to first-time recipients. 78 of them were renewed in 2024. Now, according to Ronette Vondrick, Iowa Farm Bureau Community Services Manager, providing the opportunity for young individuals to, quote, contribute new ideas, research and innovation is essential to bolstering the resiliency of the family farm and the agricultural industry in Iowa.
Number one.
A dramatic pause in plant 2024 as water falls from the sky. But something to think about, what happens to that water once it gets to the ground? Certainly, it eventually ends up either in an aquifer or a stream or a river. But what does it pick up along the way? Iowa Soybean Association has a cool tile monitoring project to help answer those questions.
It's not a hard one-to-one comparison of a specific practice, but we like to try and draw out what we can as far as do these practices perform over time. How do things like the weather, an individual year, the crop rotation impact them? And then, you know, again, just more information so the producer can go back when they're making their decision making for the next year and think about what they saw, maybe what it looked like the other people were doing in their area, and maybe think about making changes or targeting a practice or caution.
Conversation, part of the latest Pods of Potential podcast, just released on our website at iowaagnet.com or your favorite podcasting service. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Every day, you navigate a complex business and changing demands. Stay a step ahead with Experior. The first FDA-approved product of its kind, Experior creates the freedom and flexibility to support environmental stewardship without hindering animal performance measures like average daily gain, feed efficiency, and carcass characteristics. Own your future now. Talk to your Lanco representative or visit experiorbeef.com to learn more. Well, Andy, as we talked about yesterday, and as you alluded to earlier, you had a few technical difficulties out there, but how'd you make out and how's the plant going?
Well, it turns out that we fried, apparently, the ISO connector on the tractor, which has a little motherboard in there, or at least circuit board, and controls a lot of the functions like the hydraulic down pressure, the electric drives on the units, and then does a lot of the monitoring, the RT on the nitrogen, that sort of thing. So that took about 7 hours to troubleshoot and diagnose and took about 10 minutes to fix. So we actually found it, which is how it goes with technology sometimes. Still managed to get about 100 acres of corn planted yesterday. Beans with our own, we're pretty much on the run, which is the earliest that's ever happened. Got some spraying left to do, but great break here to activate some residual in the herbicide, Dustin.
All right, well, sit tight, everyone. The Midday Market's coming up next.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters.
Joined today
I'm
at midday
Mark Magnuson
by Lori Carter of Comstock. Lori, what have we seen taking place in the grains?
Well, as we have seen the last few days, wheat's leading a nice little rally in the grains, with Kansas City especially. Right now, July Kansas City wheat's up about 9, Chicago wheat's up 4, the corn up 1.5, and soybeans down a couple of cents. So all the excitement in that complex is pretty much focused on wheat, and specifically hard red winter wheat.
Does that all come down to weather then with regards to hard red winter wheat, and what's happening with that specific commodity?
I mean, I think part of it's weather related. It's actually previous weather condition related. It's been really dry in most of the hard red winter wheat growing area, and the wheat is starting to show stress. I think people see it out here, and then even USDA's crop conditions ratings kind of confirmed that earlier in the week. I think there's additionally the factor of short covering, because the fund money has been pretty short that market. So kind of seeing some money kicked out of it.
That was Lori Carter with Comstock. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Daily estimated beef slaughter is where we always start. 125,000 head. That is 8,000 more than a week ago and 2,000 more than a year ago. Boxes are mixed here at midday, with 84 loads of choice cut selling $296.92, up $1.18. Select down 76 cents, $289.66 on 14 loads of movement. The spread widening a little bit to $7.26. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter total estimates show 485,000 head, 1,000 more than a week ago, 10,000 more than a year ago. Check of the cash markets here. We wrap up yesterday's numbers for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchase-wise, only 2,600 head, so a very light run. The market sharply lower, down 278 on light volume, weighted average price 88.71. Formula purchases, a pretty decent number, 165,000 head, weighted average price showing up at 89.09, so that market weakening by about 40 cents. As far as what's happening here to wrap up another trading week, more negotiated purchases than yesterday's total at midday, 2,560, but no price available due to confidentiality issues. Formula purchases, a pretty light run, about 104,000 head, weighted average price 89.21, market 12 cents higher.
Every day you navigate a complex business and changing demands. Stay a step ahead with Experior. The first FDA-approved product of its kind, Experior creates the freedom and flexibility to support environmental stewardship without hindering animal performance measures like average daily gain, feed efficiency, and carcass characteristics. Own your future now. Talk to your Lanco representative or visit experiorbeef.com to learn more.
At midday, May corn is up 1.5 at 442.5. May soybeans down 3 even at 1159.75. May soybean meal down $2.20 at $341.70. May soybean oil up 20 cents at $45.02. Chicago wheat up 3.25 at $605.5. Minneapolis wheat up 3.5 at $694.5. Kansas City hard red wheat up 8.25 at $640.25. On the Merck, June live cattle up 47 cents at $178.27. May feeder cattle up $1.75 at $2.48 even. May lean hogs down 77 cents at $94.50. And Class 3 milk down 18 cents at $18 even. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, over to the livestock side of the marketplace we go. Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net back once again visiting with Mark Magnuson here as they tell us what's going on in those cattle and hogs for today.
Jim, let's switch over to the other side of the ag marketplace in the livestock complex. What's happening with the cattle and hogs?
Well, volatility is definitely the word. If you watch that cattle market, they broke, they rallied, they broke again, and then had a $4 rally late in the session, closing back up near the week's high. We are off to a relatively quiet start today. You know, the cattle market's just a lot of headline trading. We are going to be dealing with this bird flu problem. That's, you know, remnants of the DNA showing up in the milk. That's got some people a little bit spooked. The overall, you know, economy definitely was slowing down. We saw that with the, you know, GDP reading yesterday. But that being said, when you talk to people, survey people, airlines say they are going to be full for this summer. And it seems like the consumer, even though the economy is slowing down a bit, is still willing to go out there and spend money. And if that's the case, that hopefully will be somewhat supportive to the cattle market. But if you're a producer out there, it's probably not the worst thing to do to buy puts to lock in protection, because like I said, the volatility is some of the most extreme that I've seen in my career.
And did we get any follow-up? Has that been confirmed that they are going to require dairy cattle that are moving between states to be tested for bird flu, or was that just a trial balloon that was floated up as a possibility?
I think they're actually going to do it. You know, they are going to start doing it. Now, it was one thing is interesting. I was reading one article last night, and they were making a comment that, you know, what they're finding in the milk, they're not, it sounds like they're not finding it like one. There's a belief or a thought process out there, Mark, that says, you know, this bird flu story in the cow was relatively recent, but I think it came out in March, I believe. But there's a suggestion that it's been so prevalent in the milk that this virus might have been infecting the cattle months ago, like as being as early as the year. And there's a thought process that, you know, that herd might have actually hit quote unquote herd immunity literally because it's been spread around so far. So if that's the case, hopefully it just, the storyline moves to the back burner and we can move back on to traditional supply demand fundamentals.
And again, just to clarify on all that, it is basically the dead virus, the leftover remnants of the virus that are found in the milk, so it is still safe to drink. He is Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net, our guest here today. Jim, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
You can reach me directly at 815-665-0461. Reach any of the AgMarket team members at 844-424-6758.
Jim, thanks so much for the help here today on Friday. Have a great rest of your week and a great weekend.
Thank you, and good luck planting out there, folks.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
'Tis a busy time of season, there is no doubt, and a lot of cases it's sleep that gets sacrificed as work needs to be done in very tight windows. Hopefully, you're able to get that done, at least a certain amount of it. Without a whole lot to fix, that can certainly shrink the sleep schedule as well. But anyway, it's important and paramount, I would say, through all of this to maintain your mental health. Riley Smith, part two of the conversation on exactly how to do that is next here on Iowa Ag Matters.